Heavenly Father, pray that you may speak to us clearly from your word this evening. Amen. Right, I apologise, my shirt, it looks even more psychedelic on my screen than it really is. It looks like it's plugged into the mains. Psalm 5, you've got it in front of you. You might find it helpful to look at it. It's a psalm, most likely from David. It's a time when he was probably being chased. Verse 6 and 9 seems to indicate that there are a number of untruths said about him. Now, I want you to imagine that I'm an umpire or a referee, and I'm controlling a sport. And don't shout out the answer. Well, you won't be able to. You're all unmuted. But I just wanted to work out what the sport is that he's in charge of. If you said tennis, give yourself a pat on the back. You could obviously have said badminton or table tennis as well. And actually, this psalm has got five different stanzas in it. And they're all opposite each other. We go from one to another, a bit like a rally in a game of tennis. Verses 1 and 3 are to do with God and David, or the application, obviously, for that is God and me. Verses 4 to 6 are about God and evil. Verses 7 and 8 are back to God and me. Verses 9 and 10, we go back to the theme of God and evil, and it finishes off in verses 11 and 12 with God and me. John, are any chance of any slides going on the screen or not? No, if not, I can probably maybe be able to share it myself. So let me just see whether I can share that. Right, okay. Can you see all those? Yeah, sort of. Right, okay. Let's. So there we are. My opening gamut was going to be the, you can see on the left-hand side, God and me, God and evil, God and me, God and evil, and God and me. And I don't know whether any of you recognise the tennis match, but it was the 2013 final between Djokovic and Andy Murray. So let's look at the first shot, the serve in the rally, God and me, verses 1 and 3. And that's really saying that God hears me as I pray. When I became a Christian years ago at a Crusader camp, the chaplain there quite very wisely suggested that when I went home, I should have a quiet time, and the best time to have it is in the morning. And I think David took that same advice, because his psalm was written in the morning. And I suspect most of you would say similarly, that it's a good time to try and be quiet and reflect on God. In my younger days, I used to have it of an evening. And like most of us, when we tried that, I would often fall asleep during the quiet time. Verse 3 is probably the sacrifice, is probably David gathering together his request, beginning to think about what he is going to bring before God. But he was confident. We see the verse watch in verse 3. He was confident that God was listening to what he was about to pray. But actually, it's worth noting that David realized who he was coming before. I think when we pray, we sometimes can get a little bit too matey with our God. And David, in this opening prayer, his opening lines, calls God, O Lord. He addresses them, O Lord. And there very quickly goes on to say, my King and my God. And I think we can learn from that when we pray, that we need to pause, as we've done tonight, and remember who God is. We need to remember the amazing, the unique privilege of Christianity, that the God we worship is a God that we can worship on a personal level. He can be my God and my King, as Jesus taught us to pray that well-known prayer, our Father. So the backhand return from Djokovic, God hates evil, verses 4 to 6. You'll notice three negative statements and three positive statements. You're not a God who delights in wickedness. Evil cannot possibly dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand before you. And then he goes on positive comments. You destroy all those who speak lies. The Lord abhors bloodthirsty and deceitful. Bloodthirsty and deceitful man, and you hate evildoers. There can be no doubt that God hates evil. There can be no doubt that God hates the evil that has resulted in a fallen world. The evil has resulted of what happens when man rebels against God. That we live in not the perfect world that God had planned for us. He takes no delight in that. He takes no delight at all in famine, in war, in drought, in COVID-19. And then we go to the third shot of the rally. I think it was a forehand deep to the court of Djokovic. Verses 7 to 8. That shows God's love for me. The temple that is mentioned here may well have been the fabulous temple that was built by Solomon. It might have been the temporary temple made of just blankets and the such. But the temple for the Jew was the place where they could get and meet with God and feel in God's presence. And it was there where David could come before his God, his Lord, and experience, as he says, the abundant and steadfast love. The Bible is full of such fabulous language. No doubt it is. It was inspired by God himself. And I reckon those two words are almost unique to our God. You very rarely, if ever, hear them spoken about anyone else. That our God is abundant, has abundant and steadfast love. A love that will never run out. A love that is always there at all times. And that love that the psalmist is reflecting on makes him, in verse 8, want to live a path, walk a path that is honouring to that God. That's why he's asking that God will make clear his paths ahead of them. Take away any obstacles, take away any temptations that may stop me walking a straight path, walking a life that is honouring to you. The backhand return from Djokovic, probably it was sliced, but it was too low, and it went into the net. Verses 9 and 10 remind us that God will judge all evil. The evil mentioned in verse 9 is more to do with the evil coming out of the tongue. And a lot of sin, a lot of the things that we regret certainly start there. But things, as we know, that start off as loose words can often develop into far more serious actions. But actually, Paul in the New Testament actually takes this verse word for word and mentions it in Romans 3:13. And Romans 3 is a chapter entitled, "None," yes, you heard it, "None is righteous." And that is true, that no one, however hard people try, that no one is righteous at all. We are only righteous. We are only made righteous through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that's, again, a good time when we bring our prayers before him. Just remember why it is we can say that God is my God, my Lord, my King, purely because we have been made righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus. There was no fifth shot in the rally. The fifth shot was Andrew Murray raising his hands along with 5,000 other people on Tentafork and countless millions of people around the country, around the world. And these two verses says at the end, a great word of encouragement, that God is our shield. Probably the shield was the most vital part of a soldier's equipment. It covered it almost from head to toe. Many of us, if we're on our own at this time, feel quite vulnerable. Many of us, even if we're not on our own, seem quite vulnerable at this time. Where can we turn? Where does the world look to at this time? Where does our country turn to? They may turn to BBC One at 5 o'clock or whenever it is when the live statement comes out of Downing Street. We look forward to seeing Professor Whitty. He'll be a star in the making. We look forward to seeing Boris or Tony or whoever it is, Savage Javid, giving some statements. But so far, they're not good statements. They're not full of positivity, anything like it. And yet the end of this psalm, as Andy Murray raises his hands in triumph, remind us that we have somewhere we can turn to. We have a hope that gives us some positivity. And that hope is Christ, is God, the abundant and steadfast love, who is a shield, or more colloquially, is PPE for us. So that should fill us with great joy and great encouragement. So let me just share with you the last few slides that I did just to conclude. Just to conclude things. Okay, so let's move down to my last, just in conclusion. The centre court of Wimbledon, there it is. Not slightly better than my lawn. God hears me. God hears me. God hates evil. God shows his love. God will judge all evil. God is my shield. But right at the end, there is a challenge, isn't there, for each one of us. Have you noticed? Did you notice in verse 11 that David wants to start singing? He wants to start praising God for his steadfast love, for that shield that is a protection. And it's a challenge for us as Christians that, yes, there's a lot of sadness around, but actually at the moment, we can be filled with joy. We can raise our hands with joy because we can turn to that PPE, that shield, our God of protection. But in the same way that David prayed to God in verse 8 that his way should be straight, then that should give us an incentive ourselves as we thank God for all that he's done for us to live in a godly way, to live a straight way, to live a way that is pleasing and honouring to that God who we love and we can trust. Amen. Let's just pray. I'm just going to pause for a moment and then pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy that we can have, even at a time like this, a joy when we look at our God, my God, and we can be reassured that you are our God through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Fill us with that joy that the world can't give, and help us as individuals and as a church to share that joy, to share that hope with those around us. Amen.